everyone. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Gregory Popchak.
I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic family life coach, Lisa Popchak.
And we got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be taking your calls, of course. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. And in addition to taking your calls about whatever is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength, we are going to be talking later on in the broadcast with Wadeen Koenig-Bricker.
Who's going to be talking to us today about, do you believe everything they say about Catholicism in the secular press? She's going to be debunking some of what the secular press is saying about Catholicism and also telling us where to go when we hear this stuff so that we know how to answer the people in our lives and the scary questions in our own heads when the secular press tells us things about our church.
All right, so we've got lots to do today, and I hope that you'll stick around for us. Again, give us a call at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Also, you can email us your questions
at radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. During this hour, it's all about you. We just want to know what's going on in your heart. What's troubling your mind? What's sapping your strength so you don't feel like you can walk with God anymore? You don't feel like you can walk at all anymore. You're just kind of feeling run down by it all. But we can help. We can help you find faithful answers, ways to get back on the path God has for you and find that abundant life that He has planned for you. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. The call is free. The advice is free. Call us and email us, and we'll help you during this hour.
All right, so we've got lots to do. Let's get started with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today, and we thank you and praise you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and with all the good people who are tuning in right now. Lord, we lift up those who have asked for our prayers especially, and who are part of the Heart, Mind, and Strength marriage, family, and personal prayer list. We also lift up those who are tuning in today, maybe even for the first time, and are struggling in some area of their life or relationships. Lord, you have asked us all to become perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, that is, perfect in love. Help us now so that we can respond to that call, especially in our relationships, so that we can experience the intimacy and love and communion that you lead us to through intimate life in Christ. We ask you, Lord, to unblock all of those things that clog up the love in our hearts. We ask you to clear out all of the distractions that occupy our minds and take us away from your will and stop us from being able to hear your voice. We ask you now to strengthen us with your grace that we might be able to move forward in strength and courage so that we can follow your will on that path to abundance. We ask you now, Lord, to help us become the people you have created us to be, so that we can give glory to you in everything that we do. We ask all of this
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom,
please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, we are going to be talking with you and also sharing some interesting information that's come across the desk about a study that you might have heard on the news last week. There were a lot of news reports talking about how children aren't important to marriage anymore, according to new research. We're going to look at that new research in this first segment and see what it actually says and discuss some of the ramifications. You know, it's not quite at all as bad as the media spun it to be. It's not great, but there's some interesting information there for especially people of faith, and we'll be unpacking that in this first segment. After that, we will be taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about whatever is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength. But for right now, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Psalm 121, verse 1. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It's short, it's sweet, but it says it all, doesn't it? Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It is so important to remember that God is the author of everything. He knows what we are going through in our lives. He knows how the world works because He made it, and He can help us in every aspect of our lives. Don't ever hesitate to call out to Him. Don't ever hesitate to ask Him for His assistance and to trust that He will be there for you, that He can guide you and lead you through the darkness and into His own marvelous light. Once again, I'm going to ask you to commit this verse to memory, Psalm 121, verse 1, so that God's word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Well, with that, there was an interesting study, as I mentioned, that came across our desk last week that we wanted to take a look at, because it's really pretty important stuff. You know, what was being said in the news was that children have dropped now and are no longer that important to marital success, that they are now number 8 on a list of factors that people identify as being important for successful marriage.
And, of course, this is how they get it out in these little sound bites. I know we were sitting in a pizza place when this story broke and they had one of those TVs that are running, and it got our attention right away. They're basically, you know, the secular press in its sound bite is saying, oh, you don't really need children. Don't bother with them. Nobody thinks they're important anymore. They're number 8 on this whole list of things. Don't worry about them. Don't have any of them. It's a very anti-life way to handle it in a 30-second sound bite.
Now, let's start with the bad news, right? The bad news is that it is true that in this Pew study, just 41% of Americans now say that children are very important to a successful marriage, which is down from 65% of people who responded to this same question in a 1990 survey. So in the last 17 years, children have dropped 24% in the importance in people's minds for having a successful marriage. And that's not good news. What it speaks to, and we'll get back to this in a minute, is how much damage has been done and how much of a disintegration there now is between marriage, sex, and children. Because people see those things as separate entities, children suffer. And they will always continue to suffer as long as marriage, sex, and procreation are separated by our secular society. That said, I mean, there is good news in the study that comes from a couple of different fronts. First of all, the majority of parents still rate their relationship with their children as being the most important source of personal satisfaction, and every other relationship pales in comparison except for the marital relationship. And so among those people who do have children, they value their children as much as they ever did. And that's...
Thank goodness for that.
Thank heavens for that. The issue here, what this study reveals, is convincing children to have, convincing people to have children in the first place is the struggle. Once they cross that hurdle, then they love their kids as much as they ever did and find them a great source of personal satisfaction. So that's the one bit of good news, that among people who have children, they are appreciating them. The other bit of good news, though, is that this ranking, where children come out 8th on the list of things, and I'll read off the list of things that are considered to be more important by most folks than children in a happy marriage, but this list does not hold up for people who attend religious services regularly, and that's regardless of faith. They did some specific analysis of Protestants, evangelical Protestants, mainline Protestants, Catholics, and Jews, Muslims. But across all denominations, people who attended church services regularly found that children were much, much more important to them in having a happy marriage. So again, you know, the fact that church attendance is dropping off in general, combined with society's attack on the uniting of marriage, sex, and procreation, is contributing to the fact that children are being seen as, you know, addendums to a happy marriage. Let's read through the list and find out what some things are that people consider to be important for a
successful marriage.
I'm just going to let you take it from here, honey, because I cannot speak. No. All right, there are 8 things. All right, some of them should be on the list. Some of them, maybe not so much. But the first one, obviously, I think very important, faithfulness.
Faithfulness to each other, not to their church life, to each other.
Fidelity, right. The second one, interesting, happy sexual relationship.
Which, now, can you really have a happy sexual relationship if you've completely blocked out the procreative nature of your relationship?
Well, of course not. But the other factor is, of course, a happy sexual relationship is an important factor in marriage, but should it really be number two?
Number two.
List?
Yeah, I mean, this is very much a culture of death kind of thing. You know, put the happiness of that part of your life above all else.
All right, so we've got number three is sharing household chores. Again, important, really important. But number two, I don't know. Adequate income is number four. Good housing is number five.
Now, I know that we've got a large portion of our listening audience who's laughing their heads off because they are in happy marriages and they adore their children and they don't have adequate income or good housing, but they'd rather have their children than adequate income or good housing.
Well, and I think what do you mean by that is the question. You know, when you say adequate income, that's such a subjective phrase. I mean, what's adequate is what you need to meet your needs, you know, and
sometimes our world doesn't think that way anymore. Adequate's now, can I put my child in every single class they want to attend and take them there in the best car? And
yeah, is good housing the McMansion? You know, or is good housing, you know, a
safe roof over your head.
Yeah, a comfortable home that's safe and orderly and is adequate to meet your needs. All right, moving on. Shared religious beliefs is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the list. Sorry, I'm getting a little
We've
long.
We've just gotten to Sesame Street. You know, yeah, we're counting. Yeah. We'll teach you to count and your faith as well.
Shared religious beliefs, number six.
Number six.
Now,
I'm behind a good sex life.
Yeah, I'm
sharing chores.
Appalled because, you know, in all of my books, you know, I talk about how Christian marriage is really all about helping each other live out all of the values and ideals and spiritual goals that God has put you together to do. And this really highlights the important differences between secular marriage and Christian marriage. In Christian marriage, husbands and wives are drawn together by God to help each other be their best hope for becoming everything that God created them to be. And unless you have shared values and beliefs, you can't have that kind of marriage. Unless you have those shared values and beliefs, basically your marriage, you know, is an institution for comfort and convenience. It's just there to make you feel good in the moment. And when you stop making each other feel good, it will go away, which is also what this study found, that people genuinely believe and generally believe that if the marriage becomes unhappy, then it's easiest and best just to give up on it. So when you don't have a higher ranking of shared values and religious beliefs, there's nothing to hold you together when you stop making each other happy for a period of time. Very important. Number seven.
Seven.
Shared tastes and interests. So there again, we find that, again, that's important. But, you know, is liking the same restaurant really more important than children, which comes next at number eight? And the only thing on this list of nine items that scored lower than children is agreement on politics.
So the argument you have, like, once every 4 years or so when you've got a big general election, or in some houses, of course, you know, the argument over life issues, that gets larger because that's in with strong shared religious beliefs. That's a different thing. But they're saying that, you know, only the argument you have over who you're going to elect every 4 years or so in a general election, that's just underneath having children.
Okay. So,
all of these things are important. We're not negating the importance of any of these things for a good, solid, sturdy, happy marriage. We're just talking about where should some of these play out. And certainly, if you have shared religious beliefs with one another, at the top of the list, all of this stuff will start to fall into place because you'll understand your sexual relationship in the context of your shared religious beliefs. You will automatically begin to share more household chores because you are living in a culture of life that says serve one another, be there for one another. You won't see even your income or your housing as being part of your identity. You'll see it as God's grace to you and also, you know, his provision in your life and also as something that passes away, so it won't be as large a stronghold. And all these things will move into their proper place and children will move up the line if we start with those shared religious beliefs.
So the take home for this is the following. First of all, children are not unimportant for a happy marriage, and people of faith know that. The study reveals that when folks attend religious services regularly, they have their priorities in order, and they know that children are important to their relationship. We also know from this study, basically it confirms what we already know, First of all, that society is attacking the unity between marriage, sex, and children. And secondly, that it's hard to convince people to have kids in the first place. But once we do convince them, they're really glad they did. And that's what our goal has to be, witnessing to the culture of life by proclaiming our love for our children and families.
And Greg, that's what I want to say to our listeners. As you said, the take home on this is really open your mouths, Catholic people. Let the world know that you have a fighting chance at your marriage. You love your children. You love your spouse because of your religious beliefs. The world is starving out there. Putting all of this upside down and saying, you know, the happiness in your sex life or the house you live in is more important than your shared religious beliefs or children is not going to give the world what it's looking for. It is really a message from the culture of death. We as Catholics need to open our mouths and say, you know what, we are happier because of the faith that we live. And this is why, and this is how it spells itself out. Or, yes, we have our struggle. Our marriage is suffering. Our children are having difficulties. But you know what? We're not giving up because this is what God called us to. He called us to something greater. So we're going to fight the good fight and not just give up because this person's not making me happy at the moment. We're going to get good counseling. We're going to tough it through. We're going to work on the relationships. We're going to put other things aside so that we can center on building up our marriage and family life. That is the light to the world. That is showing the culture of life and that God has something more for us than what the culture of death is trying to sell us. And we can't be embarrassed about it, and we can't be shy about it. We have to live it, and we have to live it loudly enough to start changing the world in the people around us who are starving because they don't have a way to set up their lives because they don't have God as the head of their lives.
So as we always say on this program, you know, if your family, if your marriage and family, and the effort you put into your marriage and family life doesn't look any different than the marriages and families on your other marriages and families on your block, you know, then you're not doing your bit to evangelize for the culture of life. Having that great marriage and family life in a world where marriages and families are being ripped apart in so many different ways is the most important way of evangelizing. Because when we can say that we live God's love in our home, that despite our weaknesses, despite our many sins and many failings and the many ways that we let each other down as couples and as families, we can still love each other with God's love, and that shines out in the effort that we place into becoming the people God wants us to be in our homes. That is where the rubber really meets the road. With that, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
So if you're looking at what we're saying today and you're saying, that sounds great, Greg and Lisa, I want to do that. I want to help God by evangelizing the world through a good, healthy family life, a good, healthy marriage. I want to be that shining light, but I don't have a clue. We are not there. We are so far from that goal. How do we get there? All God's asking you to do is work on it. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He wants you to be working toward being perfect in love as he is. Let us give you a hand. Let us give you some steps in the right direction and give us a call so that we can all work toward that goal and start changing the culture of death into the culture of life.
877-573-7825 is that toll-free number. Our email address,
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
And we'll be back with you, your questions, comments, and insights right after these messages.
The pastoral ministry programs at Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary form leaders who generously serve the church. Celia St. Charles has an associate's degree in ministry. She's a pastoral associate at St. Fabian Parish in Farmington Hills.
My duties? I train Eucharistic ministers, do wake services, coordinate the adult education program. I was also the youth group coordinator for 8 years. But overseeing the RCIA program is the high point of my job. It is such a privilege to walk with these new Catholics along their journey of faith. You couldn't ask for a stronger theological background than what I received at Sacred Heart. It helps me in every part of my ministry. And you don't need a PhD to work in the church either. You can work on your education as you go.
Learn more about Sacred Heart's programs in pastoral ministry. Call 313-883-8520. But hurry, new student enrollment for fall term ends August 15th. Classes start September 4th. Call Sacred Heart today, 313-883-8520.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. Here's Dennis Haney.
Harry Nixon was held as a prisoner of war in Germany for several months during 1944 and 1945. He and his fellow POWs faced hardship, danger, injury, and deprivation while held in the Nazi camps. But they also found humanity. The German camp's boss had himself been held by the Americans as a POW during World War I. His positive experiences in American custody led him to treat his own captives as humanely as possible. That reciprocated courtesy led to unexpected goodwill. Returning to the scene of his incarceration more than 50 years later, Harry Nixon sought out the son of the camp's boss, and together they took a tour of the area and visited the grave of the camp's boss. Friends, remember that even in the worst of circumstances, humanity and kindness can make a lasting difference.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength, and I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
And with that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're heading out to Ohio to Kathy, who's listening on Living Bread Radio, Greg.
Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What can we do for you today?
I just have a real quick question. I'm looking for some type of recommendations, what type of books or resources I can give my high schooler to help her kind of fall into place, find a spot for her to discern what her study should be for college. Not necessarily vocations. We've had myriads of discussions in regards to religious vocations. I'm talking more on what to do for a living and that type of thing. She doesn't feel called to any type of religious life, so... I didn't know if you had any.
And are you talking about when you say discerning what she's going to do, what she's going to study in college, or that sort of thing? I mean, does she not know what her interests are at this point? Or?
Well, she does, but she's fluctuating a little bit back and forth and back and forth to two or three different things. And I didn't know if there was some type of a program or a book that I could put in her hands that would help her. Maybe focus in on what that final thing might be.
Sure. There are a lot of them, actually, that do kind of entrance inventories and kind of point you to what kinds of jobs or careers you'd be really good at. The first one that springs to mind is, I think it's called What Color Is Your Parachute, Greg? Isn't that the one?
I'm afraid I don't remember.
I think that's the title. Go ahead and put it into any online bookstore that you trust and like, and... Once you get that title coming up, you'll get other titles about exactly the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Do some of those tests with her. Don't use them as your solid baseline, but do a few of those to try to see, you know, what is she really gifted at? But the biggest thing here, after you give her other things, is to make sure she's praying on a daily basis about what is it that God wants her to do to live out the gifts and graces he's given her.
Yeah, and I want to talk more about that in just a minute. I want to give you one other practical resource, and then I want to go back to what Lisa was just saying about prayer and discernment. There's a test actually online. I think it's even better than the book that we were talking about.
Okay, good.
It's called the Campbell Interest and Skill Survey.
Okay.
CISS. And what it does is it takes a look at what you're good at and what you're interested in. And it compares those patterns of responses to the responses that people give in, you know, hundreds of different professions.
Okay.
Right? So, for instance, if I like fishing, or if I like music, or if I like this, or if I like that, or if I'm good at this, that, the other thing, it compares my responses to what other people in different professions like and are good at. And then it rank orders different professions according to things you might want to check out because you're both good at them and you're interested in it, things you might want to develop because you're interested in it but not all that good at, things you might still want to investigate even though you're neither all that, you know, terrific at it or interested, and so on. It breaks it up into four different categories. in the last category being
the
things that you want to avoid altogether.
The same sort of thing, but
right.
If this is online, that's a lot easier.
Yeah, if you just do a search on Campbell's Skills Survey, it's actually part of the U.S. News and World Report website. So if it'll come up as like the second or third search on a Google search for it, and it's just type in U.S. News, then Campbell's Interest and Skills Survey, and you'll get that test. Now, as far as the other piece, though, you know what's most important that your daughter does with her life is what God wants her to do with her life. And so I want to ask you, what's her prayer life like? Does she seek God individually at all?
Well, we pray as a family, but she's very private about what she does in her own quiet room, and I don't think it's as good as it should be. So let's put it that way.
All right, but are you saying that she does take some regular time at prayer, but she just doesn't talk about it, or you're just not sure?
I'm just not sure.
All right, well, I think it's important to emphasize that, to carve out specific time for individual prayer time for the family, where you say, okay, everybody, I don't know if you have other children as well, but okay, everybody, we're going to take 15 minutes to pray as individuals before we pray together as a family. You know,
okay.
You might want to get into the habit of then talking about what you guys shared or what you guys were praying about individually as a way of, you know, then using that as a launching point for your family prayer. But it's going to be impossible for her to figure out what's really going to give her the kind of joy and satisfaction that she can get out of her life unless she knows what God is asking of her to do. And she
right.
needs to have her own personal relationship with the Lord in order to develop that.
And it's okay
right.
to start baby stepping her into that when you sit down for your family prayer. I don't know what kind of family prayer you do, but if it's solely rote prayer, say a novena together or a rosary together or a Divine Mercy Chaplet together, whatever it is, that's wonderful. But make sure that as you go into that, you're saying, Lord, we're offering this rosary so that you will help our darling daughter be able to hear your voice and know what your plan for her life is so that she may start to walk that path. Then offer the rosary or take some time away from that kind of thing and really lay hands on her together, you and your husband, and pray for her to have clear discernment. You know, ask God over her. You know, Lord, help her to know what it is that you've gifted her to do, her purpose in life, how you want her to walk this road. Be very specific so that she knows that she doesn't have to be solely responsible for the decision. She has to be responsible for having an open heart and open ears to God about the decision.
One last point before I let you go, Kathy, and that I'm going to really encourage you to work with your daughter to develop a mission statement for her, an identity statement. You know, in adolescence, it's all about figuring out who I am and what I stand for. And if she can identify the particular qualities or virtues that are important to her and important to her to live out in her life, then you can use those virtues as a launching point for evaluating different career possibilities or different subjects that she might like to study. For instance, if she has a particular, you know, love of, well, a particular interest in justice, for example, and peace, and, fighting for the rights of the underprivileged, that sort of thing, you know, well, maybe she wants to look into careers in law, or if she's interested, you know, she has a real heart of compassion and caring for those who are suffering. Perhaps she wants to look in the medical sciences, and so, you know, these are just very broad strokes that I'm painting for you here. But if you start with those virtues and those values, you get an idea of then what has God placed on her heart as the kinds of things that she wants to learn more about how to live those virtues and values out. We talk about how to develop that kind of adolescent mission statement in Parenting with Grace in the chapter on dealing with adolescents. And I think it would be really important to walk her through that exercise as part of helping her develop her own personal relationship with the Lord and her prayer life. So that's Parenting with Grace, the chapter on adolescence, the resource that Lisa was talking about, the parachute book, the Campbell's Interest and Skills Survey, and one other book that I think would be really useful is What Does God Want?, a book by Father Michael Scanlon on spiritual discernment. What does God want?
They were just talking about that book earlier today.
Well, there you go.
on another station, on another program.
There you go. The Holy Spirit's working here.
There
God
it
bless
is.
You, Kathy. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, tough decisions to be made. You know, I remember anguishing whenever I was going into college. What will I do? Actually, I went through several transitions. I started out in the seminary and then ended up at Franciscan University studying theology and psychology. And before I graduated, I wasn't sure whether I was going to be a Muppeteer or a therapist. So, all kinds of things.
These are very tumultuous years where kids are so pressured right now to not really find what God's vocation is for them or find what God's mission is for them in life. But they're very pressured by our media right now to make sure they get the highest paying job they can so they can pay off those student loans immediately and get out of mom and dad's basement. That's the main goal in life. And we have to take a longer view as parents and realize that we're trying to raise saints, not just high earners, and give them the time and the prayer and the shoulder to cry on so that we can help them walk through it step by step as they discern God's path. Look at the lives of the saints. There are so many saints who started down one path and ended up going another way. It's okay. Just because your kids don't know what they're going to do by the time they're 16 or 17 years old doesn't mean that something's broken. Just means they need a little time and a whole lot more prayer.
All right, with that, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we are continuing to take your calls. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, it's 877-573-7825. If you can't get to the phone, well, we'd still love to hear from you. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
But one way or another, let's work together to help each other end the day a little bit stronger, a little healthier, and with God's grace, a little bit holier. We'll be back with your questions, comments, and insights after these messages.
Heart, Mind, and Strength is made possible by Faith Satellite Radio and Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication, who would like to share the gospel with Catholics in Africa. Faith Satellite Radio would like your parish to adopt a parish in Africa by equipping them with satellite services. For $38 a month, one fortunate African parish will be provided with a radio receiver and dedicated satellite radio channel, enabling them to receive high-quality digital Vatican radio programs 24/7, 365 days a year. Learn more online at faithsatelliteradio.com. Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
Join me, Father Thomas J. Loya, in Light of the East on this station. We are telling the exciting story of how Eastern Catholic churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Church and today's world. This week, it's questions
from our Eastern Orthodox brethren.
Light of the East on this station.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
It's getting harder and harder to cope with your budget, which is getting stretched further and further. Well, I've got someone here that I want you to talk to, Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. Ken, what are you telling people when homeowners come to you with this problem?
A lot of the problem for homeowners, with the income side of the budget, there's only so much that you can do. I mean, it's really the debt side of things that you really want to focus on and do whatever you can do to try and restructure some things. You know, once you put them together into a nice, tidy little package, can provide a lot of relief in the family budget.
So is the answer a home equity loan?
It could be a home equity loan or a first mortgage. Every situation is unique, and that's what's good about what we do here, is that we're not going to push any specific product. We're just going to roll up our sleeves and look at what best product is the solution for you and for your family.
So make that call today to Ken Town and the staff at Fellowship Home Lending. Get the plan that's right for you. The number is 800-660-6433. That's 800-660-6433.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak. We are taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, it's 877-573-7825. Before we go back to your calls, though, it's time for Letters from Home. That's where we take a look at the writings of a brother or sister in the Lord who's gone before us, as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Today's letter comes to us from Pope St. Gregory the Great, who is talking about the importance of achieving peace. He writes, St. Paul says, "If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all." Romans 12:18. He says, "if possible," because he recognizes that the good cannot have peace with the bad. Since peace cannot be established except on two sides, when the bad flee from it, the good ought to keep it in their innermost hearts. Thus, St. Paul admirably said, "so far as it depends on you," meaning that peace should remain in us even when it is repelled by the hearts of bad men. And such peace we truly maintain when we treat the faults of the proud at once with charity and and with persistent justice when we love them and yet hate their vices. There's a lot of meat in this paragraph, and we're not going to have time to unpack it, but I just want to highlight something here. You know, we know as Christians the importance of creating peace, of being peacemakers. But St. Gregory the Great's point is extraordinarily important. The good cannot make peace with the bad. You know, and my practice is just chock full of people who are trying to make peace with the bad. People who feel like they have to make nice when somebody is treating them like dirt or behaving in some morally offensive and personally offensive manner. You can't do that. You can't make peace with somebody who is behaving that way. You can make peace in your heart about it, and you can continue to press them to address the injustice. But St. Gregory the Great's meditation on St. Paul's teaching is extraordinarily important. Check that out. That's today's letter from home. With that, let's go back to the phones at 877-573-7825. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're heading out to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to Angela Gregg, listening on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey there, Angela. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Just listening to your thing that you opened your show with, and you were talking about witnessing through your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I, we're just dealing with problems with alcohol. He has a lot of issues with alcohol, and are working on that. And obviously, you know, staying married, that's our main goal with everything, and staying strong with that. And, you know, it's not okay, but still, how do you, you know, balance that with staying married? It's not okay to be doing the things that come along with that.
Let me ask you a question. When you say that you're working on it, what does that mean that you're working on it?
He is trying. He keeps saying that he's coming up with a plan, that kind of thing. And you know, we talk about it from time to time. And
so he talks about it, but he's not really doing anything about it.
Exactly.
Okay, that's not working on it. That's why I asked the question. That's
yeah,
talking
that's,
about
that's
it.
Like if you said, oh, we're building a house. And we said, oh, really?
Right.
Where? We haven't looked at any land yet. Oh, what kind of house? We haven't looked at any plans yet. When are you going to move in? We have no idea. We're just dreaming about a house. That's kind of the stage he's at now. He's making some promises, but they're getting emptier and emptier as time goes by.
You know, I have an article on addictions in the latest issue of Catholic Digest, actually. And one of the things that I make a point in that magazine about is that when people who are addicted to substances make promises, they really mean them at the time that they say them. But because of the compulsive nature of an addiction, what happens is that they can't resist it. They are hardwired at a certain point to give in to that addiction, even though they get less and less pleasure from it. You know, the definition of a compulsion is that I'm forced to do it even though I get less and less pleasure out of it and eventually want to quit it altogether. And that's what's kind of happening here. He keeps doing it even though he doesn't want to, and he sincerely means well whenever he says, I'm going to stop it, or I'm going to make this plan or that kind of plan. But his words are meaningless unless he does something about it. He needs to be going to AA. If it's serious enough, he needs to be dried out. You know, he needs ongoing individual therapy as well, because addictions are always rooted in problems of attachment. If he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't know how to be intimate and make healthy connections with people, then the only thing that he's going to be doing to take care of his bad feelings inside is self-medicating. So as long as he doesn't know how to be intimate and authentic with people, he's always going to be driven towards some kind of addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or any other thing, to try to make up for that big gaping hole that he's got inside of himself. So unless he's actively pursuing specific actions that you can point to, then he's not doing anything about it, no matter how much his gums flap about it. So let's ask me a follow-up question about that, Angela. I mean, if you were to take all that to heart, what would that mean to you in the way you approach your husband about his drinking?
This is something we've been battling for a long time. And I guess, I keep kind of making ultimatums. I mean, I don't want things to totally break up between the two of us, but I do want something to happen. And I'm not sure how best to go about that. And
Well, here's what you do. I mean, if talking isn't working, All right. And this is something that I would want you to work out, especially if you could find some spiritual direction, or at the very least, he needs to decide who he loves more. That you are committed to the marriage, that you are committed to him, but if he wants to continue to be living in the house with you, then that means that he needs to choose you more over the alcohol. That if he wants to be a single married person, you know, a married single, and he wants to go off and have this affair with the booze, then he can go and live by himself someplace. You'll stay married. You'll stay committed to his recovery. I mean, your separation doesn't have anything to do with the validity of your marriage or whether you're married or not. You're not saying that, but he cannot live there with you and your children if he's going to behave in this manner. And you have to be strong enough to set that kind of a limit with him that lets him know that you love him too much to let him continue to be part of the household and enjoy the benefits of a relationship if he is going to love alcohol more than he loves you and your family.
Right.
And drawing that hard limit's important. Also, making sure that you're not just using your words and he's just using his words and nothing's being done. It's okay for you to say, honey, I called AA. This is when the meeting times are. Get in the car. We're going right now. Or I'm going to Al-Anon, honey. It's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm going. And I'm going every single week because I'm committed to your recovery. When are you going to AA? Or calling around and finding out where are the rehab situations in your particular area and saying, honey, this is what you need to do, and you're going. Push a little bit. It doesn't have to go from just saying, oh, honey, would you please stop drinking, to, well, if you're not going to drink, just get out. That is a therapeutic technique that will help him realize the importance of the choices that he's making and the weight of the choices he's making. But you need to start doing more than just using your voice and really putting some things into play that he can take advantage of.
And so what I want you at the very least to do, if he's not getting help, is I want you to take advantage of what help is available in your area for you. So whether that means joining an Al-Anon group, like Lisa was saying, or getting some individual counseling so that you can work on the codependency issues that you have, because you're being codependent even though you don't realize it. You know, a lot of people who are codependent think that because they're making noise about a problem, they're addressing the problem. And that's not the case at all. If I make noise about the problem but it doesn't get any better, then I need to be able to set limits and use consequences to make sure that I'm commanding the respect and that I'm commanding the attention that the problem deserves. And that's where the codependent person breaks down. They can make noise about it, but they can't follow through ever. And so then they feel powerless because, well, gee, I said all that stuff, and I argued about it, I yelled about it, I was trying to be nice about it, and it's just not working. Well, so and that's clearly the case for you, and so what you need to be able to do is go to Al-Anon or go to individual counseling and take advantage of whatever other groups or supports are available in your area so that you can be the strong woman of God that the Lord needs you to be so that you can set the consequences and command the respect that you need to from your husband who is really struggling to decide who he loves more, the alcohol or you. With that, Angela, we got to let you go, but stay tuned because there's somebody who called in who has some other resources for you as well. With that, we're going to Francis in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who has some recommendations for Angela in the Ann Arbor area. Francis, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. Wonderful show as always.
Thank you very much.
I think it's important to point out that this is a terrifying prospect for many people who are struggling with this. And people with drinking problems and their spouses are some of the most miserable people in some ways that you'd ever meet. And so I what you said about getting support, I think it's extremely important for her to get some support, and even though she is not the one with the problem, we would certainly welcome her at Women for Sobriety. I've called y'all before about this, so that perhaps she can get some guidance on to some of the rehabilitation centers and some of the therapists in the area who have really done good work with people, because it's frightening just trying to, you know, pull out somebody from the yellow pages. So we would certainly welcome her there, and she can go, it's a national organization, she can go online and send an email, and they would happily direct her to the meetings on Tuesday evenings and Saturday mornings.
I think that's very, very important information for her. It's so scary to do this, to change anything, to take on any of this without getting support that you need. This is a wonderful group that you're talking about, Women for Sobriety.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
The other groups that are out there, and getting one-on-one counseling so that you can affect change in your marriage, all very important things to do because you're changing an entire system and an entire way of life, aren't you, Frances?
Absolutely. When one person changes, the entire family has to change, and hopefully in this situation for the better. But, you know, there are situations that if something isn't done, it's the most heartbreaking thing. You know, if someone's picked up for a DUI or, God forbid, they hurt someone on the road.
Or even just the lifelong consequences for themselves and their children. I mean, so many of our listeners can tell you the legacy of this if it's not, if change is not affected.
Well, we will welcome her with open arms. So,
Francis, let me ask you a question. Is there a website for Women for Sobriety?
Absolutely there is. You just type in Women for Sobriety, and then it will guide you to the local meetings, some of them, not all of them. If you don't see a meeting locally, then what you have to do, it'll tell you where to write for an email, and they will ask you a few questions, and they'll put you in contact with the local moderator, and then they'll advise you at the meetings, and that's how it works.
Is this a Catholic organization?
It is not. It's not a religious organization.
Okay.
But it is more of the idea that, you know, it's about choices. And we, you know, deep down, you know, we're strong women, and we can take control of this, but there's one thing that is absolutely true. It is this. You cannot handle this problem by yourself.
Amen. Frances, thanks so much for calling in with that resource and those insights. Very, very important to hear
from
you.
God bless.
Thank you so much.
This is the thing I love most about doing the show, hooking our callers up with other people who are in the trenches doing good work. And I love being able to be helpful myself. I know Lisa enjoys that as well, but it's wonderful to be able to hook our brothers and sisters up in the Lord with each other.
Well, and what Francis said about dealing with alcoholism is true about everything else in life. God did not make us individuals who are supposed to live on a little island and handle all our problems by ourselves. He made us a community. He made us a church, and we have to call upon our brothers and sisters in the Lord who have a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more strength at that particular time, because sometimes it's going to be your turn, to get the support that we need to make it through these rough trials, whether it's the kind of trial that Angela and her husband are going through or whatever it is you're going through. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever let Satan tell you, oh, you'll look bad if you get help for that situation, or people will think less of you. That's pride. Get it out of the way and really ask God in his mercy to send the people into your life that you need to help you carry your cross.
All right. With that, we have to take a break. But when we come back, we are talking with Wadeen Koenig-Bricker for our Smells and Bells segment, where we take a look at Catholic traditions. Today, Wadeen is enlightening us about things we need to watch out for when we hear about Catholic news from the secular press. Stick around more after these messages.
A new study says abstinence works.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A new University of Pennsylvania study has found that teaching abstinence to young teenagers in public schools reduces their sexual behavior. The study of 662 black students in 6th and 7th grade inner city schools in Philadelphia found that abstinence education helped delay the starting point at which teenagers begin having sexual relations. Researchers found that in the 2-year follow-up period, students that had been in abstinence-based programs were less likely to engage in sexual relations than students who were in programs teaching safe sex through the use of condoms but didn't mention abstinence.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
This program made possible in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria Funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. Every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment Counsel. For more information or an investor's kit, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or AveMariaFunds.com.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Welcome Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And joining us now is Wadeen Koenig-Bricker for her Smells and Bells segment. Wadeen, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Wadeen. Hey, listen, you know, we were talking earlier about your segment, and I mentioned that Mark Shea, a regular contributor to the program, has a saying that anytime the secular press covers religion stories, you have to deduct 50 IQ points from the reporter. That seems like what you're going to be saying here today, too.
Well, I'm not sure if it's IQ points or if it's just that they just don't understand. What I want to talk to you a little bit about is this recent article that's been in the paper about Joseph P. Kennedy II and his alleged reversed annulment, that in 1991 he applied for an annulment. The secular press has reported that the annulment was granted, and now a couple of weeks ago they said that the Vatican reversed the annulment. That's not what happened at all. The Vatican does not change its mind, and the Vatican cannot just sort of capriciously decide that an annulment didn't happen. What happened, according to canon law, is that their marriage was never annulled. The Vatican is simply affirming that the Vatican is now and has, their marriage is now and has been valid all of these years. Now, the reason this can be is that canon law is not the same as civil law. Obtaining an annulment isn't just a single court decision. It's a multi-stage process. First, an application for an annulment is presented to a diocesan court, which examines the case and renders a verdict. And regardless of what this first court decides, the annulment isn't actually granted until the decision has been reviewed and confirmed by a second court. In other words, a degree of nullity, as it's called, has to be examined and confirmed by two courts before it goes into effect. Until the second court reaches its decision, the annulment is still pending and the couple is still married according to church law. That is exactly what happened in the case of the Kennedys. Most of the time, the second court agrees with the first, but occasionally, in what's called a non-conforming sentence, the two courts disagree. And that's very, very rare. I mean, almost never happens. This is what happened in the Kennedy case. The first court, that was the Archdiocese of Boston, agreed on a degree of annulment. The second court disagreed. What makes the court, this case, so complicated, though, is that Mrs. Kennedy took the case to the Vatican to be the second court. Normally, the second court is another diocese. For instance, the Diocese of Pittsburgh, their appellate court is always the Diocese of Miami. But you can have at any stage in the process your annulment taken to Rome, and she decided not to have another diocesan court review her case, but she wanted it taken directly to the Rota at Rome. And the Rota at Rome did not agree with the decision made by the Archdiocese.
Just for listeners' benefit, the Rota is sort of like the Supreme Court of canon law.
It is sort of like the Supreme Court of canon law, or the appellate court. Now, what even complicates this more is that when the two courts don't agree, one says yes, an annulment needs to be granted, and the other says no, we don't see grounds, then the case has to be sent to the Rota. So in this case, the Rota is the disagreeing court, but the Rota now has to actually review its own decision, which is a very odd situation. But the fact of the matter remains is that there never was an annulment granted because the two courts never agreed. So all these years, the Kennedys have been married. They still are married, and their annulment is still going through the process. No reversal because there was nothing to reverse.
And one of the reasons it took so long is because she took it out of its natural order and took it to Rome, and that lengthened the process anyway. So you're going to get a lot in the secular press that's going to talk about, you know, why did it take so long? That's one of the reasons why.
There's another thing that's very odd about the decision in the Kennedy case that just has to be mentioned, and that is that apparently the Rota decided in 2005, but decided to keep it secret. And the canon lawyers I've spoken to are very confused by that. They can't imagine why would you keep a decision secret, you know, from 2005. So there's something going on that we aren't privy to. But the reality is that the Kennedys have never had an annulment, and the Vatican never reversed anything, regardless of what the secular press is saying, because the Vatican doesn't reverse decisions.
The other piece in this, and maybe you could speak to this, I don't know, but my understanding is that the Court of Second Instance, the formal term for the review, should take place within 6 months of the original decision. This is 10 years. But you're saying that would be because Sheila Kennedy appealed to the Rota as opposed to going to the proper Court of Second Instance, which would have been Miami in this case.
Well, there's a little confusion. It still should have only taken 6 months, but understanding if you take it to the Vatican, it's probably going to take a little bit longer. 10 years is still a little bit long. There must be some real complications in this case that we aren't privy to, because 10 years is really excessively long.
And I think the overall thing that we want to get across to people here is that there is usually a very understandable meaning behind some of the buzz things that we hear in the secular press. If you're hearing things that make you feel uncomfortable about something that has to do with the Catholic Church, go to some of the great Catholic sources on news and figure out what's really going on instead of listening to the sound bites.
Exactly.
Well, Dean, thanks so much for being with us today and highlighting this really important story that's ripped from the headlines, as it were, and helping to root us in what's really going on. God bless you and your good work. And, folks, that's all the time we have for the program today. Thanks so much for being with us. You can come on over and visit us at our place, though. Let me give you that address. It's www.exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, find out about the telephone counseling practice if you're seeking some individual coaching on how to live a more faithful and abundant life, and check out lots of other resources there, all at exceptionalmarriages.com. We'll be here tomorrow taking your comments, responding to your questions, comments, and insights. But until then, get on out there and love the Lord
with all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popchick. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
We're here with Bert Gezzi, the author of the book Voices of the Saints. And today, Bert will be talking about the 40 Martyrs of Sebaste. Their feast day is March